ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Joypad Podcast. My name is Tom. I am joined today by Megan and one of two Mikes. I'll let you guess which one. Just kidding. It's Mike Pinto. Mr. Fleming had something he had to do by nighttime, which is a little bit strange to me because, yeah, I don't think he's a reverse vampire, but I've been proven wrong before.
All I assumed is my thought just went to, he's about to be a father, so I'm sure he has many responsibilities that he was unaware of now, up until now.
I figured he was just plotting and planning for this weekend.
I think that's pretty reasonable.
Ooh, maybe he's making chicken salad.
Ooh, oh, so much.
He could be... Why does any of that have to be done by nightfall?
You missed the chicken salad debacle of last episode.
Does nightfall play into
it?
Do you have to make chicken salad by daylight?
It curdles if it's not made in the sun.
Ew.
The secret ingredient is vitamin D.
Yes, sunlight. It gives it that healthy glow. We talked about chicken salad for like 10 minutes last time, so let's move on from chicken salad quickly.
I will not facilitate that discussion because
we'll take it
pretty
offline.
Mad on chicken salad. So anyway, we're here, sans Fleming. We're going to do our best to talk. I'm going to throw it over to the one mic that we do have, Mr. Pinto. How you doing? What you drinking? What video gaming are you doing? And I don't know, what other gaming are you doing?
How's life? Not doing any other gaming, just video gaming.
Okay.
I am drinking wild cherry Pepsi. These cherries cannot be tamed. And also water, of course, as we know. Hydration is key. Yeah.
Do you think it's like false advertising for them to call it Wild Cherry Pepsi? Because
first of all,
I can almost guarantee you they do not harvest those cherries from the wild.
Hang on, I'm gonna look at this bottle right now. Let me guarantee you, it will say 0% juice. Yep.
That too.
So, not only are they not wild cherries, they're not fucking cherries. So it doesn't really matter.
Sorbitol and xanthan gum.
That's right.
Yeah.
Video games. I haven't been playing too much. Okay, so mostly I've been playing Super Mario Armageddon, which is the Super Mario RPG ROM hack that I downloaded several weeks ago.
Right.
And boy, it's a humbling game. For someone who has been very good at Super Mario RPG, and it is one of my top games of all time, I get my ass kicked a whole lot. And it's they made the timed hits more difficult, and also you have to do it twice. And if you don't nail those timings, the ratio of damage, you'll go from, like, if you time it correctly, at this point I'm doing like almost 5,000 damage per hit, and if I don't time it correctly, it's like 200. So you really want to nail those timed hits. And bosses get to act twice per turn, and it's difficult. It's difficult. I am currently at Booster Tower. Not too much has really been changed story-wise. I think most of the changes are going to be in endgame content, but I get to talk to Rosalina and Luigi and Daisy, who were very much not in the original Super Mario RPG.
Rosalina definitely didn't exist.
No. I'm pretty sure Daisy didn't either at that point. So
no.
Daisy.
She was
Daisy
in the Game Boy games.
In the Game Boy game. Yeah.
That's really all I've been playing. I've been doing some Stardew here and there while I continue my binging of Hell's Kitchen, season 19. Represent. Stardew is still going good. I'm in fall of year one, making all the alcohol, and also I have like exotic fruit trees because I have the Ridgeside Village installed. Not meat trees or whatever the heck. They're just like weird fruit trees.
I had that installed and I couldn't bring it upon myself to plant meat trees. It just seemed
awful.
Way too strange.
Yeah.
The same mod lets you like kill cows for meat and stuff like that.
I don't want to.
I simultaneously could not do that. So
yeah, I don't want to do that. I also played a little bit of Fights in Tight Spaces, which is the deck-building roguelike game where I know I've talked about it before.
Oh, I've played that. I think you recommended it to me.
Yeah, you have
that sounds
you have cards, and you're a government agent that has to infiltrate different gang hideouts and beat the crap out of them using your cards. That game is also pretty hard, and I play it on easy mode, which is not something I commonly do. But yeah, when you get to play that game well, it is so satisfying. And when you're not doing well, it's infuriating. Which, I guess a lot of games are like that, to be honest. But I don't play too many games like that, so it probably just feels worse for me.
Well, and it's like your first time really playing it, so you're still getting used to it, too.
Yeah.
So your opinion might change if you do more or less.
If I get better at it, which might not happen.
Yeah.
And
get good, Scrub.
Yeah, I know. And last time we recorded, I know, Tom, you were not here. Megan, sign off. Fleming and I played some Spelunky together. Mm. And I think that's not a game he would enjoy that much, to be honest. Because it's not a game you can get good at, really.
Yep.
You've played it, right, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really a game you can get good at, which is what...
You have to get lucky.
Yeah, it's roguelike. It's very difficult. A lot of things are left up to chance. So
you can be better or worse at it, and you can definitely improve your skill mm-hmm. at it, but you cannot like learn the root and become a master of known knowledge in order to win.
Right.
Exactly.
Because it's always different. So I think you're right. I'm just going to say it. That's definitely how Fleming plays games. He
yeah.
learns
the
strategies
patterns, yeah.
and how things work, and then he executes.
I think, yeah, and I do think he had fun, but I could also feel the frustration radiating off of him as we played. And both of us were like, I don't know if this game would be easier or harder with four people.
So, I feel like it gets harder.
Yeah, I think one of these days we'll have to try it out. But playing it with him was an interesting experience because, like I said, it's just not a game that you can improve your skill at it, but it's only going to do so much, basically.
I have an appreciation for those games. For a long time, I thought roguelikes were kind of strange, and I wasn't really sure if I was into it at all. But I'm scratching my head. I know there's been one that I've been playing here. They're like not overcooked, but like played up.
Yeah.
I think is like a really well-crafted roguelike. And granted, it's, you know, the cooking simulation take on that. Just the way that everything can fall into your lap in different ways, but you have a certain set of options so you can kind of plan around some of that, mm-hmm. is really, really good in a very simple package. So, I mean, I think there's great ways to do it, and there's ways that are more or less fun. You know, depending on who you are, too, because there's certain people who definitely enjoy an extreme challenge, but that's not me. So, Played Up, I think, is my kind of perfect example of a roguelike.
That's about it for me. I had more to talk about than I thought, but we haven't recorded.
How dare you?
We recorded in a little bit, and I haven't spoken to you in, like, 2 weeks, Tom. So, 3 weeks. Two, 3 weeks. In spoken to you. With voices.
Now it's strictly a professional relationship. We don't talk outside of the
podcast.
Yeah,
I know. Or just act like we do.
Yeah.
Anyways, fuck you, Tom. Megan, what are you up to? What have you been playing? What you drinking? Other relevant questions.
Word. Not much is up. I'm enjoying Wegman's Finest Lemon Lime Seltzer. And some leaf water, as always. As far as what I'm playing, speaking of roguelike, I started playing Hades last night, actually, as gifted to me by our lovely...
Father Gamesmith?
Yeah, Father Gamesmith.
Listen, we all say it, but if you're not comfortable saying it, I don't blame you.
Gaming Daddy gifted me some games, as Gaming Daddy does.
Oh, it just sounds so much more entertaining coming out of your mouth.
Thank you very much, you kind, kind soul. I really appreciate it. But yeah, I started playing Hades last night. I'm really enjoying it. I love the graphic style of it. I'm a huge fan of roguelikes. You know, I talk about Binding of Isaac all the time. I like the randomness of all of it. I haven't played a ton of it yet, so, you know, I'll talk about that at some point. I'm still continuing on with Final Fantasy 16. I think I talked about that. Oh, Tom, have you...
I wasn't here. Is it good? I haven't started it yet.
Uh-oh. Why don't you go back and listen to last episode, Tom?
So, it's not a bad game. It's just not a good Final Fantasy game.
Okay.
So it's like, it's definitely an action game. The story is awesome. Visually amazing. There are some really cool big boss fights, because, like, from the trailers you saw that there were icons and stuff. Like, so you had Ifrit, Shiva. Those moments are really cool, but, like, the overall fighting, it's just button mashing. And then you have, like, your R2 and triangle for, like, a powerful attack, and you have R2 and square for a powerful attack. They've really oversimplified everything, even down to the actual items. So you don't have to worry about a party member going down. Like, the only person you need to worry about is Clive, the main character. Cool. And they give you, like, a hot button, like, you use the directional pad to heal yourself. So you have, like, potions, high potions, and then you have different tonics. Like, I think there are 3 different tonics. Like, one increases your defense for 30 seconds, one increases your strength for 30 seconds. But, like, way, way simplified. There's no party management at all. Even, like, the leveling system, as far as, like, what you're dumping your skill points into, it's just beefing up those big, powerful
attacks. They turn Final Fantasy into a Soulsborne game?
It's not even a Soulsborne game.
Yeah, it sounds like they're hitting the eject button on the RPG concept, mm-hmm. which I think is what a lot of people are doing.
Yeah.
I think 7R does it right. I gotta be honest. I think that's the best fusion and kind of end game of that RPG concept we're gonna see for a long time. It's a little bit disappointing mm-hmm. for me to hear that it's not orchestrated as well there. And actually, like, in my head, I was just kind of thinking, oh, it sounds like they put the Drakengard team on this. Because I don't know if you guys ever played that, but that was a Square game that was very action...
Yeah.
I don't even know if I want to say RPG-y, but, like, you were straight up doing regular attacks or stronger attacks most of the time.
And that's what it is. Even the side quests, they're all, for the most part, it's like a fetch quest or go beat up this small mob of enemies, which takes, like, less than 5 minutes.
Take that, chumps.
They do have, because I've played more of it, like, I want to get through it, because, again, I am actually really enjoying the story. So I do want to finish it and see how it ends, but, like, they have a bounty board, so they have, like, your high-level monsters that, like, you'll go and fight. So, like, huge health bar, but even that isn't overly complicated. It's just, again, hack and slash. Like, there's like, elemental damage doesn't mean anything, because, again, like, with the icons, you have, you know, Ifrit who's fire, you have Shiva who's ice, and it doesn't matter. It's just kind of like how many skill points you're willing to dump into a particular skill to beef it up, but I don't even really notice much of a difference. So it's a bit of a letdown.
That's disappointing. Yeah.
Can I throw in a random general Final Fantasy gripe?
Sure.
Why?
No.
Why are... Okay, so all the Final Fantasy games have summons, right? Uh-huh. Why are they called something different in every game? In 8, they were Jeefs. In 9, they were Eidolons. In 10, they were Aeons. Now they're Icons.
Icons, yeah.
It's like The Walking Dead, where everyone fucking calls them zombies, but no one in the Walking Dead universe knows what a zombie is. What's that? Oh, we call that a walker.
A walker?
Oh, I call them biters. Oh, those are shamblers. Like, they're all the same things.
Yeah. I think every team that develops a Final Fantasy game wants to feel like a super special snowflake.
Aww.
That's my best guess with that. The icon thing, I think, was used before in at least one game.
Yeah, it feels familiar, but I don't remember.
Was that 15?
It might have been.
Did 15 use icon?
Because I'm wondering if, like, 15. They're connected somehow. Yeah. Just, like, there are some similarities in the environment, but I haven't been able to find anything to connect it.
Yeah. The only ones I know that are, I think, if I remember right, that are connected are, like, Tactics and 14.
And 12.
The online one and 12, because they're all in, like, the Ivalice kind of thing. I just forget 12 exists because I'm not a big fan.
There are also theories that, I know, nerd deep dive. You're listening to a video game podcast. 10 and 10-2 are, like, predecessors to 7. People talk about that.
I can see that.
I don't know if that's ever been verified by Square, but they talk about how Pyreflies and all that nonsense become Mako Energy in the life stream. Also, there was a character named Shinra in 10-2. And as we all know, Shinra and 7. It's just people connecting threads, but there's no verification.
Yeah. Square also just likes to use names like Wedge and Biggs and, you know, just throw them around or make little nods to things. So, I don't know. I take it all with a grain of salt, but I don't know. It's out there.
Yeah, I mean, definitely play it. Give it a shot.
Yeah, you know, I already bought it, so it's on my list.
The story's cool. The big boss battles are fun. Like, they make it worth it. But, yeah, just overall, a letdown for a Final Fantasy game. It's gotten great reviews.
Yeah, I will. You know what? I'm going to play it unbiased and see what my opinion is. And if you hear me come on here and go, Final Fantasy 16 sucks, I'm going to tell you why.
I hope you love it, though. I hope you have an opposite experience. It just wasn't what I was looking for. I was looking for more of Final Fantasy 15. I know you weren't a fan, but I really liked the direction that it was going in.
Yeah, I don't know. It was mostly the car. The car and, like, the story to the point that I got to didn't grab
me.
So I've always said I could go back to that one.
Sure.
Bros.
Fishing is fun.
Fishing is fun.
Every game has a damn fishing game.
Yeah, that's my Final Fantasy 16 story, and I'm sticking to it for now. The only other game I'm playing is, and I don't know if either of you have heard anything about it, but it's amazing, Dave the Diver.
Ah, I saw that on sale on the Steam store front page,
okay.
I believe, and I did have a little interest. How is
it?
What's it
great.
Like?
Great. Would recommend. It's a good game where you don't really have to pay a lot of attention, for the most part, so I can, like, listen to a podcast or watch something on my computer at the same time. But yeah, you're just a scuba man named Dave, and during the day you dive for fish and try to unlock mysteries of the sea, as well as upgrading all of your equipment. And then at night you help to run a sushi restaurant. So, like, you're setting up the menu at night
with the fish you catch.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it's real cool. So, like, you're setting up the menu, you know, any special dishes, drinks, and then customers come in and they buy that shit, and you have to deliver the plates. You have to, you know, grate wasabi. You have to pour tea, get beers for people. There's sometimes special nights where, like, oh, it's the jellyfish festival in 5 days, so you better catch as many jellyfish as you can to make all of these dishes. Or you'll have, it's almost like a mini boss encounter where, like, one is a food critic and you know, she wants to try this dish, so, like, you'll have to go out and hunt for specific sea creatures. So it's like really a lot of fun. It's super cute. I love it. I highly recommend it. I've been spending a lot of time on that game. So 10 out of 10.
It looks delightful. I have a trailer up over here. Everything about it looks wonderful. I have everything you've just said and everything I've seen
nice.
In the trailer. It's $20. I'll probably
It's not a bad price. There's like there are a few more things involved. Like as you catch fish, there's like a it's like a Pokemon trading card game where you catch a fish and you get the card for that fish. So it's like gotta collect them all. You do stuff for like a research society. They have a their version of what's that that sea group that's like it's like PETA of the sea.
Oh, I know what you're
Ocean
talking
Gate?
About.
No, not Ocean Gate.
No,
not
Ocean
at all.
Gate.
But it's like their version of it, but like silly. So it doesn't take itself seriously at all.
Like the ones that like do the.
I can't think
things.
Of what
yeah.
their name is, but that's what the group reminds me of. So I'm not saying it's silly. The people that do it in real life, it's just you know they made a version of it in the game. I'm gonna stop talking now.
That's fine. You just convinced me to buy the game, whether or not it's from the veiled attack on the PETA of the seas or not. I'll never tell.
But yeah, that's about it for me as far as what I'm playing. Tom, you brought us in tonight. How are you? What are you drinking? What are you playing? And is it Madden? Is it DayZ? What is it?
So, I'm doing good. I had some, travel shenanigans that we just went over during my, vacation, but everything shook out very nicely. We had a great time. I am drinking coffee.
Whoa.
God's finest
on
invention,
a school
if
night?
There is such a creature. Well, tomorrow's Friday.
Just pounding that bean juice.
I have summer Fridays, so I almost don't count it as
Fair.
Like a real Friday. But yeah, having a little coffee, trying to wake myself up so I can be a good podcasty boy. It's actually maple bacon coffee.
Oh,
what?
Because I ran out of my normal stuff and I just had like old bones coffee pods.
Now all
one
you
of
have
which is peanut butter and jelly, and the other
coffee.
Is maple bacon. Yeah, for real. That's what I've got. And it's good. And I had some nitro cold brew, so I actually put some nitro cold brew on top of it, and it got foamy, and it was delightful. It was coffee on coffee crime, and it came out just right, and it was fantastic. So I'm finishing it up. I don't normally drink just straight coffee, but it's great. I have been playing some Madden, as one might
Nailed
expect.
It.
Actually, while we were stuck in the airport one night, I had my laptop with me, and I turned it on, and I did a fantasy draft in Madden, and then went about the course of moving my team to Austin to be the Austin Armadillos, then moved my team to Orlando to be the Orlando Wizards. So I just did a second-year draft with that team after winning the second Super Bowl for them, because that's how I play that game. It's not that hard. And it's Madden. I'm already bored of it. Outside of that, we've been playing Tears of the Kingdom still.
Nice.
We're very far along. Like, I'm pretty sure we're, like, within striking distance of just beating the game. It might happen tomorrow night. I've just been dragging my feet because it's fun.
And you
and
don't
I
want
don't
it to
want
be
it
over?
Be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's... God, it's great. I love that game. Like, they just did such a good job with it, and I can't, like, applaud Nintendo enough for making a good game. I would consider playing it again, even, and I don't do that with a lot of longer games like that. But we're still finding new shrines. We just completed, there's a set of armor called the Fierce Deity Armor, which turns you into the white-haired, like light blue tunicked Link from I think it's Majora's Mask, where you can just like beat the shit out of Ganon at the end of the game.
Yep.
If you're wearing that mask. So it emulates that, but it increases your attack in this game. And it takes a lot to like upgrade that one after you find it. So we went through like that whole process, which was kind of fun. Like it gives you something to do. It makes you fight really hard enemies. And we just finished that. So I'm like, okay, we're kind of at the spot. But been making interesting creations. I found one recipe online for you can make a hover bike with like two fans and a steering Ooh. Stick if you put them together just right, and then you eventually get an auto build feature where you can save recipes. So I have it saved, so every once in a while I just build myself an Akira light cycle and I float around above the clouds. It's great.
That's awesome.
I love it. And I built another one that's like a weird, like, two-wheel four-wheeler, because I was trying to see if I could get it to be a Segway, and more or less, yes, but I had to put on a third wheel, I think. So, that's pretty cool. It's just fun to experiment. Like, I'm never going to build anything crazy like you could find on, like, some of those crazy YouTuber channels, but, the experimentation options are... they make the game a lot of fun. You can do different things a lot of different ways, and it makes you feel cool, and I like that. I like games that reward creativity, damn it.
I support it.
So, thank you. Primarily, I've been playing that, and then I did let you guys know I had the itch the other day to play some DayZ, so I did play a little bit of DayZ.
There it is.
You find a good server?
No, the server sucked. There are no more good servers as far as I'm concerned. That's the problem. So, I played for less than an hour, and probably within like 10 minutes of playing, I was like, oh, this is why I don't play DayZ anymore.
That's a bummer.
You were reminded.
I kind of got around and just stopped. But before I did that, I decided I was going to see if I could go ahead and set up my own DayZ server.
Hell yeah.
Because I've talked about that forever. And I did indeed figure out how to set up a DayZ server. And I did indeed, at least as far as I could tell, get it working.
Ooh.
The computer that I tried to run it on this computer, which is my main computer, and it doesn't like it. It will crash this computer. It causes memory errors.
Jeez.
I think the DayZ server program is like just not new enough for the processor that I have. So
it's
I don't think it's prepared
good.
For like Yeah, I mean, well, and Pinto, you're on a 12th gen Intel processor now too. So I think DayZ server just doesn't want to run on something like that.
Well, we don't have to worry, Tom, because they're making DayZ 2.
They are.
Woo! I saw that. But who the hell, like, why? Just why?
Like I said, they never fucking finished DayZ 1, so, like, they just said, here, modders, make our game playable, please.
I mean, they're just going to throw a coat of paint on what exists now and put it out there as DayZ 2. That's all they're going to do. And charge you $60 for the privilege. It's so stupid. From a thing that started off with such great ambitions and heights, it's fallen so far. But modders do great things, and they make DayZ a thing that can be great. So, my PC that does support running the server is on Wi-Fi. It gets very high ping even on LAN. I don't know how playable it would be to everybody else, but maybe somewhere down the road, a year from now or so, if I have a wired connection, I may be able to set up a DayZ server and actually run one. It actually was not very difficult. Once I got it going, I found a good tutorial. It didn't take all that much effort. You have to go through like a Steam command prompt apt. How do I say apt?
Apt.
Apt. It's very apropos. But it's strange to have to do that. Like, you can't just download DayZ server. You have to go through the command line to download it, and you have to know the code of what you're trying to download. But once you download it, you just like punch up a couple little scripts in like configuration files, and it'll launch, and you can play. I haven't tried installing any mods, but that would be the next step, and then it's just kind of Gucci from there. It's not that difficult.
Well, faithful listeners, if you subscribe to our Patreon, when we get our DayZ server up and running, if you subscribe to the highest tier, you can play on the Joypad DayZ server. None of this is real yet.
It has a name.
Oh shit.
It's called
Banana Hammock,
Banana Hammock Adventure Double Plus.
Yes.
And I will be inserting an image of Dr. Todd from Scrubs sporting a banana hammock as the primary cover
for the loading screens.
Yep. But yeah, that was just the other day. I just messed around with it for a little while and kind of had my fill of Daisy before I thought that I would. I thought I was going to want to play more.
Well, also, that's a game that's not as fun when you play it by yourself, too. So
yeah.
Because Megan and I showed some enthusiasm for playing again. Mm-hmm. I noticed Fleming was oddly silent, but maybe he just didn't answer.
It's a game, too, that, like, it's hard to get going. But once you hit, like, a midpoint in where you want to be, you're kind of like, yeah, let's go. I can get all the things. I can do what I need to. I'm not going to die of starvation standing outside of a car in front of an admin. I'll be okay.
Again, I know I talk about this almost all the time when we discuss DayZ, but it is such a pinnacle of the peak end principle where yep. It's just an hour or two of, especially if you don't have a car, so in the beginning, it's just you running around going, oh God, I have to eat my can of beans. Where am I going to find food? I don't have a can opener. Oh my God, there's a pack of wolves. I'm dead.
Yep. Ah, oh, the fucking pack of wolves. You have to, had to open up that wound. but yeah, I don't know. It's, we'll kind of see if the itch decides that it's more than a one and done kind of thing. I'll see if I can find a better server. Our good friends at Blacklands still have an Amalsk server going on. I do see messages from them from time to time, but I don't know. That one's a little tough because it's all snowy and complicated, and I don't know the map, but maybe.
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 I mean, you're still in their Discord, so.
I am. I gave them money at one point.
You did.
So they actually opened up a channel where you can get certain perks. Like, they don't advertise it, but, like, if you give them money, there's a little channel where you can pick a loadout to start with, so they'll give you, like, a non-shit starting kit. I've just never used it. So
that's cool. Yeah.
It's nice. I mean, I gave them, like, $20. They're like, here,
have
gun
some stuff
to start with. Yeah. So, and they're nice. I mean, like, the guy that runs that server has always been really cool, but I don't know. We'll see. Daisy's always a flirtation. It's never. You don't want to marry it because, you know, it's not going to treat you right in the long run. But.
But man, you have some fun times occasionally. And other times it really pisses you off.
Peak end principle. It's an abusive relationship to a T.
I would play it again. If we found a tolerable server. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll see. It takes a lot of work just to find a server is the problem, because I want to do one that, like, has those missions, because otherwise I find it boring.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're just driving around doing nothing. I'm like, yeah, okay. And the last one that I had, which I really liked that server, that seems to have gone down, which is a bummer. And that was outside of Blacklands, but that one was also a really nice, like, mission setup. Decent group of people, and all kinds of whatever you want to do. So, I don't know. We'll see. But outside of DayZ, once I got past that dalliance in my life, I actually decided to purchase Livaliv. I don't know if anyone was long awaiting it except maybe me. Remaster of an unreleased game in America that I played on ROMs when I was, like, 13 or 14 on my mom's computer in her office. It was, like, a SNES game that was released only in Japan, and I don't know if it has any connection to, like, the Saga Frontier games, but it's a similar kind of system where you pick, like, a character and follow their story, which Octopath Traveler eventually inherited. But Saga is the first one I can think of that really kind of did that for Square. But Livaliv is all very different stories. Like, there's one that's prehistoric. There's one that's in the near future. There's one that's in the distant future. There's one that's a cowboy story. There's one that is a wrestler in the modern day.
Hell yeah. Was that a Square game?
It's a Square game.
It is.
Yep. And so I fired that up just today, and I played through the entire... It's mostly shorter stories. Some of them are really long. Or at least significantly longer than the other ones. I played the wrestler because that one's actually set up like a fighting game, even though it's an RPG, which I thought is really cool. And I knew this going in because I've played a bunch of these before on the SNES version. But you play as an aspiring Japanese fighter slash wrestler, and you fight against opponents from all over the world. It's almost like Street Fighter, where you select like who and what country, and they give you a backstory on like who you're fighting. And then you immediately go to like the grid that Live uses, which lets you move your character around and then execute like an attack or an action. And it's a nice little system. I really like it. It's compact, it's easy, and it's fun. And in the wrestling fighter version, you just take down six guys and then you fight another guy at the end, and that's the end of that story. But it's mechanically fun and interesting, and... Where else do you get to fight Hulk Hogan in an RPG? I don't know. I have done the Western one before. I think I've done the Ancient China one before. I've done aspects of the Ninja one. And I don't think I've done too much of like the future prehistoric ones before. But they're all good. The graphic styling that they upscaled it to is a lot like Octopath Traveler. And it looks beautiful. They added voice acting to it. Everything's nice, shiny, crisp. They added some good like 2D, 3D to it that is actually bright and shiny and pretty. So I'm pretty impressed and happy with it for what was once like an obscure game that just dorky ass Tom found on an emulator site one day and was like, oh, this is cool. And now dorky ass 34-year-old Tom can play it on Steam and go, oh, this is cool. And it also follows my personal preference of games that you can like sit down, play, and then stop, which is handy. Like, there's not too many RPGs that you can do that with as much, but Live follows that. So, thumbs up. It's a little on the expensive side for being an upscale slash remaster. It's like $30-something, but I like it. What the hell? I didn't pay for it when I was a kid.
Paid it forward. Hell yeah.
Exactly.
Or paid it backward. And, whatever.
And Pinto, I know you had a topic you wanted to broach around the remasters.
So I don't know why, but Facebook has been giving me a lot of ads for like, there just seem to be a lot of remakes and remasters coming out recently. And I feel like, or not recently, in the future and recently, I guess. I feel like we've talked about this before. But the most recent ones I saw is that apparently there's going to be a Tomba remaster, which I like Tomba. They're also doing a Clock Tower remaster, which is exciting to me because I just like that Capcom is realizing that they have games outside of Street Fighter and Resident Evil once more. It gives me hope that maybe they'll remember Breath of Fire fucking exists. And
that would be great. Hey, I would love a remaster of like some Breath of Fire games. That'd be great.
Me too. I don't know. These games are, they're definitely getting old. Like Clock Tower wasn't a SNES game. Tomba was a PS1 game, which I mean, at this point, these games are 30 years old, but I would still like new IPs to come out, I think is what I'm getting at. Like, Square's doing okay. Yeah, they're doing the whole Final Fantasy VII, you know, remaster, and they're expanding that universe once again because they know where the money is. But they're still making Final Fantasy XVI, you know? There's rumors that they're going to do a remake of Final Fantasy IX as well. Like, that's going to be coming up. I'm pretty sure that has been verified. But...
Why... Can I just ask, why would you remake 9 before 8?
They did the HD remaster.
Oh, that's such bullshit. That was crap.
I mean, also, 8's kind of like a black sheep. Like, a lot of people don't really like 8.
I guess that's fair enough. But I mean, 8 to me has enough of where it was trying to be more of what RPGs are now, where, you know, you didn't have to go through as many like item stores to buy stuff. You were focusing on combat and upgrading your weapons through, you know, finding things and pursuing that upgrade route from the magazines, stuff like that. Like, it would fit very well as a game where you just play as Squall and like go at it with your gunblade and then just fix the fucking story. Like, it's not...
I don't disagree. I think that's kind of weird too. But
yeah,
I don't know. 9's
a great game. I'm not opposed to that.
9 is perhaps my favorite Final Fantasy, so I wouldn't complain and will not complain if / when they remaster it. I mean, there's still rumors of a Tactics remaster, which would be pretty dope.
Make a sequel. I'm here for it.
Did you play Tactics Advance?
I did. I think I beat Tactics Advance.
Was
I did
it
not
good?
Play A2. I
forgot A2 existed.
I wish, like, Tactics Advance, they dumbed it down for like kids because it was a Game Boy game. And if they hadn't done that, it would be great. Because it was interesting. And they introduced almost like a Final Fantasy IX kind of style where you learn skills from the weapons kind of situation. Or armor, things like that.
So you couldn't hilariously glitch out the spells list like you could in the original Tactics?
Nay.
Damn.
Nah, they fixed that by then. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I am happy to see some of these games that really need like a upgrade treatment to get pulled into modern gaming.
Yeah, some of these games have aged like fine milk. Like, if they remade Silent Hill, I know they're doing Silent Hill 2. Silent Hill 1 could really do with some love, especially because the only thing it's ever been released on is PlayStation 1. And
where is the Dino Crisis remake?
Again, yeah. Capcom.
Bring back Dino Crisis.
Capcom, get your shit together. It's Resident Evil, but with dinosaurs instead of zombies. And look how...
That's why it's great.
Yeah, people love Resident Evil.
People love dinosaurs.
Exactly. Would I feel bad about shooting dinosaurs? Maybe. But I played the Jurassic Park arcade game, and I loved that shit. So
I played Dino Crisis, and I played Dino Crisis 2. And let me tell you, when you get a tank gun and you get to shoot things and pop them and pop these giant dinosaurs in one hit with this giant anti-tank gun, oh.
Turok.
Feels great. Turok. Mm-hmm. Oh. That's the next one they're going to do. They already did a little bit of that, didn't they?
They did, I think, yeah. I forget what it came out on, but they did, like, I think it was the first and second game. Not like a remake, but a remaster or something.
They could do better with some of those, too. Like, I feel like if they really tried with the Turok game, they could just, like, revamp that franchise and make, like, a good modern Turok game. So, like, that, I think, speaks to the middle ground. Like, use your IP, that's cool, but like, make a new game. Like, Tomba, there's no reason not to just make a new Tomba game if you really want to keep that IP going. And Tomba's cool. Tomba's stylistic.
Yeah.
Fucking go for
it. I'd love a new Banjo-Kazooie.
They made Yooka-Laylee. Did you play that?
I didn't play Yooka-Laylee. It just didn't feel the same. I want my bear.
It didn't have a Kazooie with it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why does Bear and Bird sound like a really, like, hipster cafe?
It probably is in at least, like, 4 or more different, like, hipster towns. Like, Portland probably has, like, 6
Bird and Bears.
Yeah, definitely a Northwestern, yeah.
I'll ask Nate.
Nate, have you ever been to a restaurant called Bird and Bear? Yeah, I've been to 3.
Which one? But yeah, like, I really dig the Live a Live thing, because it is a game that was never released in the US. Like, I only played it because it was fan-translated ROMs. And there's other games like that, like the Front Mission, original Front Mission, I don't think was ever released in the US, or Front Mission 2. Maybe 2 was? I don't know. They were, like, obscure games, so, like, nobody was really picking those up and buying those over here. So... it's cool to have them be released, tell that story, to put that out there, and to also do it in a way that's not just like slopping it out, you know, saying like, oh, we just got a translator, here you go. But like what they did for Front Mission 1 was they actually upscaled it significantly and put it in 3D. It still feels too of its time, and I think they intentionally limited some of the mechanics to what Front Mission 1 was, so I might have gone further with it, but I don't blame them for doing what they did. And I think they did a pretty good job with that. There are other games like that too. Like there's, have I talked about Bahamut Lagoon before? I feel like I must have.
I don't know.
You have, yeah.
Okay, so like Bahamut Lagoon, quick summary: tactical RPG where you get to raise dragons, has a great story. You fight on your dragons in strategy RPG format and kick the crap out of other people the best you can. And dragons evolve different ways, and it's pretty neat. It's almost like proto-Pokemon-ish.
Sounds like,
degree.
Or Jade Cocoon. Did you ever play Jade Cocoon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
That, how's that for a deep cut? Does anyone know what fucking game I'm talking about?
That was a strange one, too. That game was, like, hard to play.
Yes, it was.
but, yeah, Bahamut Lagoon was never released in America, purely fan-translated for SNES ROMs that are out there. And that would be a great, it's a proto Final Fantasy Tactics, proto Fire Emblem, proto Tactics Ogre. You could upscale that, give that a nice treatment, even if it looked like PS1 graphics. I think people would eat it up. It'd be really neat. But even Tactics Ogre was recently done, and that's a game that I think was forgotten all about. And hey, guess who bought Tactics Ogre and hasn't played it yet? This guy.
You know what they should do? And it would never happen because it's dumb as shit, but it would be hilarious if they were like, we've made Madden 95 remaster. Next year, they're like, you know what? Forget Madden 24. We're done with that. We're going back in time and making Madden 95.
Was that the one with all the mini games? The, like, training mini games?
I have no idea.
Some of them did, yeah. Like, around the 2000 session, at least. So I know they had that when I had the demo Madden for my Ethernet port that I bought for my PlayStation 2.
Nice.
So you could play like, the four games that used it. Two of which
Madden,
were Resident Evil Outbreak and Resident Evil Outbreak 2.
It was Madden. It was Final Fantasy XI, which I never played.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it was Frequency.
Frequency.
Which I know
oh,
you
man,
know.
Really? That had that?
Yep.
Because
you can
Amplitude.
Play online with other people, and I remember playing the Fear Factory song Frequency, just trying to play with that controller.
Did Amplitude
so
have that too?
It must have.
Yeah.
Because Frequency came first, I think.
Yeah. Amplitude was the squeakquel.
The squeakquel.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. They could definitely bring that back. I think they would have some problems with player likeness licenses this day and age, but that would be entertaining. I don't know. I think there's probably more good than bad in the remake market right now.
I agree. Because, like I said, a lot of these games, it's hard to go back to. And not just, like, graphically speaking, gameplay-wise. They're just, some of them are hard to play. They're clunky, or they take forever, as a man who just spent nearly 90 hours replaying Legend of Legai over the past year.
Yeah. Gameplay evolved. I mean, that's why they remake all those Pokemon games. If you go back and try and play Pokemon Blue from the Game Boy, it's so slow. Like, that's just not how things are anymore. And, you know, it's not like the slowness was a feature. It's just it was limited by what the system could do and how things were set up. So,
yeah, if you go back and play, like, really old computer games, like your King's Quest or whatever, like, go back and play King's Quest 6, your computer's gonna be like, I don't... This is ancient technology. I don't know how to do this.
Is that a 3 in there? I thought it was all 1s and 0s. I don't know what that means.
Those games literally ran off, like, your computer's internal clock. So it'd be like, oh, okay.
Well, that's why, like, some of those older, like, Game Boy games get screwed up, too, because they either have an internal battery or they try to run off. I don't remember how the day-night cycle worked in, like, Gold Silver.
You just entered the time in when you started playing.
Was that
Professor Elm would be like, "What's your name? Are you a boy or a girl? What time is it?" And you'd be like, "This is great."
I'm going to go catch a century. You didn't ask if you were a boy or a girl. That's Crystal version.
Really? Oh yeah, you were only a boy. You were only a boy in the first couple. That's right.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's why we improve things. So, I don't know. Yeah, I think there's a lot of good coming out of a lot of those. I am very excited about that Super Mario RPG remake.
Yeah, it looks good.
Me too.
If they do FF9, I'll be interested in that. I'm not as big an FF9 person as you are, but it's been forever since I've played it, so I'm sure I would enjoy it. I just think if you're going to do it, do enough to make it exciting. That's it.
Yeah.
Just don't half-ass it, and it's cool. Like, if you're going to remake... Like, remake the Bouncer.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be really cool.
Or remake Zone of the Enders and make it longer than a six-hour game. That would be cool. That was my first game for PlayStation 2, and I beat it within, like, a day. And I was like, oh, this is the only game I have.
Uh-oh.
What do I do now?
I think Final Fantasy X was my first PlayStation 2 game. Yeah, I remember because my sister got a PlayStation 2, and I was upset because she wouldn't let me play it. And then I got my own. Cool story.
That's some bunkus.
Mine was the Bouncer.
Puncher.
Was it?
Hell yeah.
Yep, I'm pretty sure mine was FF10 and whatever the newest Tekken was at the time, like 4? Or Tekken Tag?
Tag was early, and I love that. I still love Tekken Tag. I haven't played it in forever, but I would play Tekken Tag any day of the week.
It's crazy to me that, like, I guess it makes sense because they don't pump these things out like they do Maddens and Call of Duties, but, like, Tekken's been around since PlayStation 1, and they're only on Tekken 8 right now. Shit! It's even worse. Street Fighter's been around since, like, the early 90s, and they're only on Street Fighter 6, but they made Street Fighter 2, like, 90 times, so...
Yeah. I have my finger up in a disappointed uncle pose right now, and that's just because of the many, many different varieties and flavors of Street Fighter 2, none of which I claim to understand. But there's actually, I just saw there's a lovely Monster Factory on the new Street Fighter game.
Oh, there is.
I did not watch it. But I believe the character's name was Johnny Leg Day or something
it
like
is.
That.
Yes. Yes. He's wonderfully hideous. Although I will say, even the finished product, my favorite is just that they could stretch him so far at the very beginning. He was, like, all leg, no torso, no neck.
That's how we like him.
So,
no middle just, sliders.
I'm impressed that Street Fighter has allowed something like that when it's been such a game of just, like, here are our
preset,
you know, characters.
Yeah.
I think
so I'm
Mortal Kombat did that in one game, and it was the shitty one. Mortal Kombat Armageddon, where they're like, here's all the characters, because why not?
I remember, I may have told this story before, I had a friend who made a character that was called the Naked Cape, and she had a flesh-toned bikini and a cape on, and she was the Naked Cape. The end.
Well, but I think that's a good place to end it, on the Naked Cape.
I was just going to say, it's an interesting thing to think of with fighting games, because a lot of them really do just recycle a lot of the same thing. Like, Mortal Kombat was basically remaking the same game, at least Mortal Kombat 1 through 3. I mean, 3 just added more characters and a little bit of story.
And now they're remaking it again. For the third time.
Yeah, but they're actually injecting a lot more story, which is fine. And we've talked about this. I could do without the blood and guts, but I really like the character designs of, like, Mortal Kombat, so keep it going.
I play it for the story.
Yeah, why not?
Because
it's awesome.
I, I am not a competitive gamer, and never would I want to subject myself to this, the fighting game community. Ever.
I couldn't do it. I want to say we love you, fighting gamers, but I don't know. Do you love us? Do you? I don't think you do.
Do you really want a fatality,
yeah, mate.
Do you really want to hurt me?
Yes.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes, you do. You want to rip my spinal cord out through my bunghole.
Oh. Oh. I shudder to think how I had no problem with any of that when I was a kid. Now I'm like, oh.
Well, because that's awful. If you go back and watch the Super Nintendo fatalities, it's Super Nintendo. They were, like, it didn't really look that real. Now, with, you know, they go into very intimate detail when they do these things in the modern games with the X-ray vision and the blood and the guts and the squishes and cracks and what have you.
Baby.
Hello, Smidge.
Smidge decided he is the podcast boy now, so enjoy this.
I agree with
Final
that.
Moments, YouTube folks. Anyway, yeah, the X-ray vision's, I don't know, it's too much. All of it's too much, in my opinion. Just go back to having the friendships.
They actually introduced a new quitality, which is, you know, because people play online, and if someone quits, like rage quits, their character will kill themselves.
Wow. That's kind of fucked up.
I don't know if there's any penalty beyond that, but... You know, there's got to be some penalty for being like a butthurt rage quitter in online games, like any and all online games.
Yeah, we could have a whole session about online gaming and how we feel about that too. Maybe one of these days.
We need Fleming around for that one.
we do. He has strong opinions. I'm probably on the opposite side. I'm just. I don't know. I can't really deal with it unless it's like some sort of co-op scenario. Yeah. I could never do an online fighting game. It's just...
Oh, no.
People talk too much shit. I want to beat the shit out of them real life.
I know we're just about done, but there were so many moments in college where we were playing threes or fours in StarCraft, and boy, Fleming would get so upset. And sometimes, Tom, you would get upset too. Not all the time. I think if it was just like a bullshit game where people were doing bullshit things, and I would be like, I like playing games with my friends.
That's why I don't like playing that type of game, because I don't like getting upset. That's why I don't understand how Fleming can do it all the time. And he's like, I like this. I'm like, no, you don't.
And then you watch him play, and he's hunched over at his desk, literally sweating. And you're like, this is fun for you.
That was the moment I knew I was not a competitive gamer. And I challenge any of you to watch him play any sort of RTS game and think that you are. Anyway, my last remark is just that I'm also considering Diablo 4 because I think it would be a fun game for me and my wife to play together. She's very into that kind of thing, and I think she thinks it's neat. So it's the only way I'm considering playing that.
Give it a shot and report back.
Yeah. All right. Well, any final words on what we've discussed or what we haven't discussed?
Nope.
I don't hear any final words. So here are my final words. Check out the Joypad Podcast at joypadpod.com. Check out our social media presence and all of our emails, YouTube channel, all of that out there. We have new videos being posted fairly regularly. We've been doing some here and there.
Summer's hard. We haven't had as much time to be able to get together and play games recently. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we will remedy that. Though my new work schedule may hinder that, with the getting up at 4 a.m. every day.
I get it. I have a meeting. It's not 4 a.m. I have a meeting that starts at 7:45 every day now, so that's bad enough.
I'll have been at work for 2 hours and 15 minutes when you start that meeting.
Yeah. I salute you. That's all I can say.
Well, salute my shorts.
No.
Okay.
Nickelodeon owns that property.
Man, you remember The Adventures of Pete and Pete? All right, let's end the podcast.
I actually have to say on that note, I went back and started watching The Adventures of Pete and Pete, which holds up. It's a fucking great show. The theme song, number one, will get stuck in your head. Two, I got really depressed watching it.
Oh, no.
Because it's such a like, this was what, like, 90s summer was like, and life as a kid. And then I was like, I'll never have this again. And I just went into, like, a spiral, and it was awful. Like, I both was conscious that it was a great show, and I was enjoying it for being a great show, and that I had to stop because it was literally depressing my state of life.
Nope.
So, now I watch The Sopranos, which is all about murder, and I feel fine.
I started that.
Murder?
Did you? Oh, let's talk in a minute. anyway, folks, if you're feeling depressed watching a TV show or a video game, turn it off and try
another one.
Like The Sopranos.
That's the indoor strategy. The Sopranos is great. And avoid that depression and stay joyful.
Bye.
Goodbye.